actually give some prayer applications from Psalm 122, what we studied Sunday night. And you can either, by the way, when I hand something out, you can keep it or throw it away or whatever you want to do. It's for your, you can take one and pass
it. We don't have to memorize it?
You can, you don't have to memorize it.
Okay.
Actually, I'll tell you what, let me read. I'm just going to read it again. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now, actually, on the flip side of that, you have what I didn't give you Sunday night, that in this, remember I said we see the pleasure of a spiritual desire fulfilled. And that brings joyful hope and satisfaction. That's getting there to worship. We have the satisfaction of spiritual obedience rewarded. You know, coming to be under the word, to praise God, to listen to Him. So that results in robust worship and fellowship. And then we have the prayer for the peace of God's spiritual children, which brings fervent prayer and commitment. So let's think about that prayer. Now, the theme here is worship. Yeah, that's what I have at the top. That's kind of how I'm going to go through these. So you're back to the page with all those words on it. And I'll explain all those words here in a minute. At the top, we have these ideas of what worship does for us. Or what worship is. It's something we can't help but do. Gives us structure to our lives. Helps us participate in our relationship with God. Allows us to receive decisions from God. And then gives us a bigger picture of the purposes of God. So I said, let's see, what is this? How should we pray if we want to sort of inhabit the spirit of this psalm? We want it to sort of guide us. And so I basically thought of those 5 points about worship, and I just came up with a prayer, and you'll see in those 5 paragraphs, these are the kind of things that Buddy's really been working on. I was thinking as I did this, I was just going through the scripture and seeing how it sort of filled in what I wanted to pray. But let's just think about this for a few minutes, and then I will turn it over, back over to Buddy. But how this psalm and then the whole scripture, sort of as I kind of interacted with other places, teaches us. So if worship is what we can't help but do, what we're made for as God's people, then we pray, Lord, give me new spiritual affections. Lord, give me that sense. Let me love you. You know, sometimes we feel dry. So we ask, Lord, give me those spiritual affections. Or as an old sermon that's known more for its title than the content by Thomas Chalmers, grant me to experience the expulsive power of a new affection. That is, we can, the best way to kind of get rid of the world, the flesh, and the devil is to have something worth loving and praising, which is God. And the more that our affection grows for God, then the devil and the world and the flesh will get pushed out. So we pray with the psalmist, Lord, help me to delight myself in you. I'm not going to say all the tech, but throughout this, I quoted scripture, other places I paraphrased it, other places I just referred to it. But so, Lord, if we want new affections, we say, Lord, who am I in heaven but you? There's nothing I desire on earth beside you. As a deer pants for streams of water, Lord, so I want my soul to pant for you. Maybe it does and maybe it doesn't, but we're praying, Lord, give me that affection for you. May I taste and see that you are good. And y'all, it's all through the scripture. When you start looking through to find ways to, it's there. I mean, I could have just written and written and written page after page after page. I mean, I had to stop myself. I said, okay, here's just one example of how we can pray. So, Lord, give me new spiritual affections. And if worship gives us a structure for our lives, I try to think about that. Okay, Lord, give me a new spiritual attitude. Lord, keep me from neglecting. I'm going to kind of pray. I'm reading it, and we're, in a sense, having a spirit of prayer even as we study this. Lord, keep me from neglecting to gather with the fellowship of believers. Help me to offer my prayers to you. Again, a structure of life, our times of worship, our times of prayer. Lord, help me to find you when you may be found, which we know is any time, because you tell us to pray without ceasing. Lord, help me to study my Bible, that it would serve as a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. So that's that spiritual attitude. I just took a few things, and there's the scripture backing them up of our corporate worship, our times of prayer, our times of Bible study. Again, it's so a new spiritual affections, that drawing near, desiring God, that spiritual attitude, the way we think and the way we then conduct ourselves. So Lord, if worship is a way to participate more in my relationship with God, then Lord, just as the psalm says in verse 4, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, Lord, fill me with a spirit of thanksgiving. The psalmist helped us very much here. I sing praises to you, O Lord. I thank you. I praise your holy name. Lord, I desire to thank you in all circumstances because this is your will for me in Christ Jesus. And that's one. If we're going to give thanks in all circumstances, we have to have number one and two in place, don't we? That's spiritual affections for the Lord. An attitude that understands I need the Lord, because if I'm going to accept that even these circumstances are from Him. So, Lord, give me thanksgiving, even in the circumstances that I don't expect. And then, Lord, as I go about my life, whatever I do with my words or with my actions, may it all be done in your name and for you with thanksgiving to you, my Father, through your Son, my Savior, Jesus. Let all that I do be to you, Lord, to be through the mediation of Christ with thanksgiving for your glory. Bless you, Lord, O my soul. Bless your holy name. And all of Psalm 103 helps us to do that. And so we continue saying, Lord, give me then a spiritual appetite. If worship is, if I'm going to be willing to receive what you have to say, Lord, I need my appetite to be for you. And so we say, Lord, renew the spirit of my mind. Help me walk as a child of light with my brothers and sisters. Help each of us, Lord, with a new spiritual appetite. Therefore, Lord, we need you to help us lay aside the burdens of this life, that throw away the sin that so clings to us. Let us, and though this is plural, let us run for the race together with endurance. Help me to hate my sin. Help me to always look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help me acknowledge that my sin is against you, Lord. But listen to this. This is amazing. But help me, Lord, in confession and repentance to receive the purging and cleansing that you offer. David, friends, David, we know David. I mean, he's a man after God's own heart, and yet when he allowed the world and the flesh and the devil to overtake him, at the very least, he was deceptive, committed adultery and murder. Yet he prayed after that. This is from Psalm 51. He confessed his sins, and he said, Lord, you can purge me and cleanse me. You washed me, and I'm whiter than snow. Do you know that? David was whiter than snow. When he wrote Psalm 51, he was. He was justified. Do you know that? Our sins. I mean, that's a bold prayer for an adulterer and a murderer. Of course, we know our own hearts. Lord, I'm whiter than snow. That's an amazing thing to consider, that in Christ we're new creations. We're cleansed. That struck me. And so, Lord, give me a. That last part of the psalm, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, give me a bigger vision of your people. Therefore, Lord, give me a heart for your people. Help me to love the church as you did. Jesus, I gave your life for the church. Help me to love your people like that. Help me to get along with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And in fact, help us to agree in the Lord. Philippians 4:2. Help me look not only to my own interests, but also to the interests of others. Philippians 2:2. Help each of us, Lord, here to put on the character of Christ. That's in Colossians. I would refer to Romans 13 to 15 to see three chapters full of what it looks like for us to do that. And then we say, Lord, may the word of Christ dwell in us richly, and may the peace of Christ rule in our hearts as we live as one body of Christ, being always and forever thankful. So like I said, y'all, any of us can do this with any. I took the scripture, I kind of outlined it, and then said, how can I sort of, a prayer, and then I kind of filled in the prayer with scripture. And so I give you, again, you can, however that is, if that's helpful to you, I hope it is. It was very inspiring to me in a way to kind of finish that psalm. So let's pray. Lord, help us, Father in heaven, to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, and praying that the gospel may go forth into all the world. Amen.